Two things have contributed to the choice of the lesson for this morning. One is the fact that we do begin our second 50 years in this building. And the second is that we have just completed a men's retreat Friday night and Saturday. As we were announcing that we would have the retreat this past weekend, and even back in October, as we were announcing the fact that the ladies were having a retreat, I began to think about that word. I even remarked to someone, maybe instead of a retreat, we need an advance. We need a forward march. But I went to the dictionary and began to study the word a little bit, and I found that there are two specific ways in which the word is used, and became convinced that there may be some of us involved in either of these two ways. The word retreat is defined as a withdrawal from the front lines, possibly to surrender. And I had to admit to myself that sometimes there are those who are members of the church who retreat in that sense. But I'm thankful that there is a second definition that says a withdrawal for meditation and prayer and study to be better able to go forward. And I believe that that is exactly what took place Friday night and Saturday in our men's retreat, and what took place back in October in our retreat for the women, the ladies. I appreciate those who've planned, those who have participated in these events. And yet we do need to emphasize that a retreat is for the purpose of helping us to be better ready and more able to go forward. Nothing in the work of the church is going to be successful unless it contributes to a forward march, because that's really what the work of the Lord is about. As I thought about these ideas, I especially began to think about Deuteronomy chapter 2. And by the way, that is Deuteronomy and not duet, as I spelled it on the worship sheet. In Deuteronomy chapter 2, at a time when God was, in a sense, giving the law of Moses to the children of Israel again, that's what Deuteronomy means, the second giving of the law, he was talking to them about what they had been doing and what they needed to do. It may be that he has some specific hill in mind that he mentions there. One version says you've compassed this mountain long enough. Another says you've gone around this hill, or you've gone around in this hill country long enough. And then he says, turn ye northward. But I'm convinced that God had more in mind than just a single event. I believe that he was at least including the idea that the children of Israel had been going around somewhat in circles for 38, 40 years. They had come out of the land of Egypt on their way to Canaan. But you know the rest of the story, that they did not go directly into Canaan because of some circumstances that developed. And God let them wander in the wilderness, as we usually describe it, for almost 40 years, until all but the above 603,000 men who were ready to go to war when they came out had died in the wilderness, except two, Joshua and Caleb. And now God is getting the children of Israel ready to go over and possess the land of Canaan. And I think in a sense God is saying to them, you've been going in circles long enough. You need to turn north, and you need to get your goal in focus, and you need to march toward it. Maybe he was saying, in a sense, you've been in a retreat long enough, it's time to advance. It's time for a forward march. I suppose that many of us from time to time have said, I feel like I'm going around in circles. And by that we mean that we're active but not making a lot of progress. I wonder sometimes if that's not the case in the Lord's work. A few years ago at Carthage, Tennessee, where the town is located on one side of the Cumberland River and a huge bluff on the other side of the river, and at a time when there was a snow on the ground of about 10 or 12 inches, someone over in Carthage noticed up on top of that bluff that there was some kind of movement. And someone went to investigate and discovered a dog that had been trapped up there in the snowstorm trying to get off that bluff, who had literally made a circle path and had evidently walked all night till he was just about ready to fall. And he was in a circle. He had tried to get off, and he had come back to where he was, and he had literally made, they said, almost a perfect circle in that snow. He had been so active that he was almost ready to faint, and yet he was going nowhere as far as getting off that bluff is concerned. A few days ago, there was an article in our local paper about a family that makes molasses. You may have noticed the mule that was hooked to the pole that went in a circle to run that machine, to run that molasses-making machine. And in a sense, that mule was accomplishing something, particularly on that occasion, but was really going nowhere except going in a circle. I wonder sometimes if our lives can be like that. Even at a time when we are active, we are doing a lot, but we're not getting anywhere. I suppose we may feel like that in our businesses, maybe in our families. I'm sure there are times that many of you have that kind of feeling relative to school. I'm doing a lot, but I'm not getting anywhere. And I think it can happen in the Lord's work. For just a few minutes this morning, let me suggest to you about five hills that I think we encircle and sometimes maybe have not really turned northward in the Lord's work. The first is the hill of past history. And I choose that first today on purpose because of what Barry read a few minutes ago. When I realized that N.B. Hardiman stood in this pulpit 50 years ago today, as far as the Lord's Day is concerned, and think about all the men that were involved in that first gospel meeting and all the men that have preached here over those 50 years, I am very humbled. And when I listen to some of the stories that are told about what has happened in the history of this congregation, I am made to believe that we have had some of the most outstanding men and women on the face of the earth as a part of the work here in Henderson. Our oldest member is Sister Alice Etheridge. She will be 99 this year. She was born in 1900. She told me that she remembered her mother putting her down on a seat in the little building over at the corner of Crook and Second to go forward to be baptized. We still have a few ladies here who were baptized in that building and some who were baptized in the outdoor baptistry that was behind Old Main when the church was meeting there. And just try to imagine for a moment how many people have been baptized into Christ in this baptistry that's behind me. And if we had a list of all the places in the world where we have sent missionaries on a regular basis and added to that the number of places where we have had men and women go out from Henderson on campaigns and trips for a week or a few days to preach the gospel and do the work of the Lord, I think any one of us would be amazed at how far-reaching that has been. But folks, that's in the past. And not a thing that I've mentioned is going to bring anybody to Christ this week, except perhaps the encouragement that it gives to us. When Jesus was talking to some people in Matthew 3, they said, "We're Abraham's children." In a sense, he said, "So what?" That doesn't mean anything. "What are you doing now?" is the idea that he put to them. And I think when Paul mentioned in Philippians 3, forgetting the things that are behind, that this is maybe what he had in mind. He wasn't saying we'll ever get that out of our memory. And in what I have been describing, we would be ungrateful if we did not honor those who have gone before us. But we need to advance, building on what they have sown and watered in the Lord's work. I think a second hill that we sometimes encircle that keeps us from going forward is the hill of false priorities. And I would doubt that there is an adult here this morning, but who would admit to having said, or at least having thought at different times in life, "I wonder if I have my priorities straight." We especially emphasize this to parents in the rearing of children. But I believe sometimes in the work of the church, even as Christians, we can have our priorities out of kilter. And probably when I mention that, you are thinking more in terms of a contrast between good and evil, good things and bad things. And the point is to be made on that, that sometimes we do become so wrapped up in the things of this world that we don't have time for Christ. And that's why 1 John 2:15 tells us not to love the world nor the things that are in the world. But borrowing from a point that one of our elders, Brother Butterfield, made at the retreat, we may in the work of the church sometimes have our priorities out of kilter because we are so busy doing good things that we don't do the best things. And if there is anybody that needs this lesson, it's those of us who preach. There are so many opportunities to serve in the work of a congregation, especially one this size. And perhaps even I need to step back and look and ask myself the question, are there times that I allow myself to be going in circles, doing good things, but not really pressing toward the north for the real things that are most important in the Lord's kingdom? Maybe this is what Jesus had in mind in Matthew 23 when he warned the scribes and Pharisees, even calling them hypocrites, and he said, "You're doing some things, but you're not doing the things that are weightier." And he went ahead and said, "Don't leave these other things undone." He wasn't criticizing them for what they were doing that may have had to do with benevolent work or maybe what they were giving. But he says there are some other things that are more important. And he explained that to them. Maybe we need to be careful that we don't allow ourselves to start going in circles, doing some things that are good, but forgetting the main purpose of the church, which, by the way, is evangelism. I also think sometimes that we allow ourselves to get to the point of going in circles around the hill of lukewarmness, complacency, unconcern. I'm not for sure which word is better to use here or the best to use, but I think you see the point that I'm making. I know the church at Laodicea was lukewarm. It wasn't cold. It was doing something, but it was not on fire for the Lord. And Jesus said it made him somewhat sick to his stomach to look at them. Is it possible sometimes that we allow ourselves to become unconcerned? And maybe another word that could be put in this same group is the word procrastination. Putting things off, really intending the best intentions. Maybe we're going in circles of intentions. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. James 4:17. When I have a convenient season, I'll call for you. Acts 24. Is it possible that we are running around that hill of lukewarmness and complacency and unconcern and procrastination and have really not focused on the north to do the will of God? And then I want to suggest to you two hills that we may be going around, and these are a bit unusual, but I think maybe the two most important. I think in the work of the church that we are going in circles around the hill of paper planning. Paper planning. I could take you to my office today and pull out some file drawers and get a folder or two and show you some excellent programs on paper that never got any farther than the paper. Never accomplished anything. I believe strongly in organization. I believe a great deal in planning. But folks, plans that are on paper aren't worth any more, as we sometimes say, than the paper on which they are written, unless we get them off that paper into our hearts and into our lives and into our actions. Organization is good only to the extent that it works. And I think this is an area that we really, really need to think about in our work. I could give you a sheet today that I have that describes the work of each deacon and others in the work of this congregation. But just having it on paper doesn't get it done. There are responsibilities that I have, that David has, Mike has, Gary has, Larry Oldham has. But if the elders just put those on paper for us and we look at them on paper and we never do anything about them, we'll be going in circles and really not doing the Lord's work. The main work of our elders is shepherding the flock. The main work of each deacon is to be busy doing what he has been assigned by the elders. The main work of those of us that preach is to preach the gospel. Many other things associated with that. Bible teacher, there's a responsibility. Brother Larry Olden can come up with a list of Bible teachers and we can put them on paper, but unless we get them off paper. And then, by the way, I think we have some excellent teachers here. We'll be going in circles and we won't be doing the Lord's work. And the fifth one, again, is a bit unusual. I think we may be allowing ourselves to go in circles around the hill of over-involvement. You didn't expect that. And I'll have to explain it to you for you know what I'm talking about. Because you've heard me proclaim from this pulpit again and again, we need to be involved. We need every member involved. We need everybody involved, and I believe that. But folks, it is possible for some at least to become so involved in so many things that they don't do well at anything. And if there's anybody who needs this lesson, I do. It is possible for us to become over-involved. I have come to believe that God never intended for every member to do everything, to necessarily be involved in every program, quote-unquote, that's going on in the work of the church. And yet you look at what happens in the work of the church. And if we're not careful, we've got the same people teaching the classes, doing the visiting, involved in benevolent work, on the different committees, and some even feeling guilty if there's one area of the church that they're not involved, and then many others not doing anything. Go back and study Ephesians 4 at verse 11. He gave some apostles, not everybody. He gave some evangelists, not everybody. He gave some pastors and teachers, not everybody. And he's talking about the growth of the church there and comes down to verse 16, and here is where it fits together. With every joint supplying, not every joint supplying everything, you don't have a joint in your body that supplies your every need, just the need where that joint is. But when every joint is supplying, it puts it together and you have the whole and you have growth in quality and quantity. The latter part of verse 16. We need retreats, not the kind to withdraw to surrender. We need the kind to withdraw to meditate and think and study and pray. Perhaps we even need some individual retreats like that where we spend a little more time than we do in that kind of activity. But then we need to come out of those retreats and we need to advance and we need to go forward march in the Lord's kingdom. And the retreats that help us to do that are certainly worthwhile. In other words, we've got to get out of this going in circles and turn northward toward the goal that God has given us. May we honor those who've done so much in the past. But let's don't go in circles about past history and think that's going to get the job done. Let's get our priorities straight and realize what's most important, even among the things that are good. Some things may be more important than others. Let's try to overcome lukewarmness and complacency and lack of concern and neglect. And let's plan, let's put some plans on paper, but folks, let's get them off of that paper and into our lives. And let us learn not to think that we have to be involved in every single activity. But whether a 5-talent, 2-talent, or 1-talent, that we look for those areas where we can do our best and we get involved and we supply, and with all of us supplying, we march forward in the Lord's work. As we think about the invitation that Jesus extends, I'd like for you to think about this idea of retreat again. Some have retreated back almost to surrender. You need to advance and come back to the Lord. Some have not even enlisted in the army. You need to be baptized into Christ today and start marching for Him. If either is your need, we encourage you to advance toward Christ as together we stand and sing.
From the burden of sin, there's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's